Two places. The first one is going to be Nehemiah 4:6, Nehemiah 4:6, and the second one is going to be Ephesians chapter number 4, as we continue with the thought of your pastor and your work. Now, the beginning of that, we talked about your pastor and your welfare, and we looked at Hebrews and the admonishment that's given there and the encouragement that's given there in the Hebrews, and then we moved on from your pastor and your work, your welfare, to your pastor and your work. So once you find those two places, if you would, stand with me. Nehemiah 4:6, and then Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. And we've talked about this extensively, and so I'm not going to do much in laboring over it, other than making a couple of mentions about it. And then by God's grace, hopefully we can get this wrapped up and finished up here within the next service or so. Amen. Everybody at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, that's where we're going to read first. Say amen.
Amen.
Any old me's? Amen. Whose team lost today and you're sad about it?
Amen.
I am. Amen. So I'm going to have a pity party later on. Amen. That'd be okay, though. Life's still good. Amen. Read with me chapter 4 and verse number 6 together. Here we go. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And that was one of the areas we looked at in Nehemiah, and we covered the people that worked close by in close proximity there in chapter number 3, and we looked at what they did. And we began to talk about what is required if you're going to work so closely to one another. Because in building the wall, they were one next to another, one next to another. Now, of course, we know they weren't elbow to elbow, but they were in close proximity enough to join the wall together. And so we began looking at some things there. We'll cover that here in just a minute. Now, go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. God gives the encouragement through the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, lets them know he gave some gifts to them, one being a pastor and the teacher there, and it was for a cause in verse number 12. And this is the cause. Read with me verses 12 and 13. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so Paul let him know, you know, Paul, Ephesus, the church there, the saints there, the pastors and the teachers, the evangelists, all those men were given for the perfecting of the maturing of the saints or the Christians. And that was for the work of the ministry, to get involved in ministry and to do it effectively. And he said also for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ or the building up of the body of believers. By the way, that is you and that is I. Amen. And so over in Nehemiah, we saw the people had a mind to work. And here, the Bible lets us know the saints, the pastor, the teacher was given for the perfecting, for the work of the ministry. And so while they build a wall, our job is to build for God's glory here in the New Testament. We're getting souls saved. We're to get people discipled. We're to get them baptized. We're to send them back out to reach someone else and do the same thing all over again. And as you work together, we want to make sure that you understand people are working around you, and you have to have certain things in your life. And that's what we're going to consider tonight. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as a church. Well, as we begin to finalize these last few thoughts together about your pastor and your work, Lord, what you want us to do, how we can work so closely together. And Lord, I pray that when it's all said and done, we might be able to work more cohesively together. Well, we may be able to work more cautiously together. We may work more circumspectly together. Well, we may work more completely as well for the glory of God and for the good of man. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us. Now may this message be an encouragement to us that each one can do their part in the work you've called them to do. And Lord, as we put it all together, it will bring glory to thee. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Brother Hall, if you could come on in and get set up for me. And let me get Brother Pastor White, why don't you come on up and help him as well with that? That would be a blessing. We had a wall, a fictitious wall that we began to build, and we began to get that wall up and get it instrumentally working, and we put the characteristics on it that it would take for someone to build. It's right outside the door, brother. And whilst they had a mind to work there in the book of Nehemiah, we know that it probably was not an easy work. It's not easy working close to someone. How many of you work in a cubicle? Nobody works in a cubicle? Amen. One. How many of you work where it's an open bay and people can see each other? How many of you work where someone right next to you whilst you're working? Anybody? Amen. Which environment do you think is the worst to work in? The closed cubicle or the open one or the one where someone is closest to you? Obviously, the one where someone is closest to you. Yes. Now, they're bringing in our fictitious wall here that we built together, illustrating what the folks in Nehemiah's time were trying to do. So we're going to set it up on top here because we don't want to move the communion table. Well, the nativity scene. Got it up there? Amen. All right. And so now as they were building, we understand that this is just a representation of what they were trying to do in building the wall in Nehemiah's time. We talked about there were some things that were necessary if you're going to build close to someone. And one of the things that we know is a must is communication. Yes, sir. By the way, when you're building for God, you've got to have communication. Does God communicate with us? Yes, he does. Communicates with us by his word and by his spirit. And so if you and I are going to build for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to communicate one with another. Not only that, we're going to have to communicate the gospel to other people. Amen. And so while in Nehemiah's time, they were building a physical wall, you and I are going to begin building the spiritual wall by utilizing something that they would have to use themselves. That's communication. We said there were three big principles that any ministry that's working together and working closely is going to have to keep in mind. The first would be the communication. You've got to let people know your mind and you've got to know people's mind. Then you've got to coordinate what you're doing. Can you imagine if they were trying to build this wall and nobody coordinated? Oh, boy. That would be just an absolute disaster. By the way, We can get a good illustration of bad communication at the Tower of Babel.
Yes, sir.
God began to confound their languages and they couldn't understand each other. They couldn't communicate, so guess what they couldn't do? They couldn't build. If you and I can't communicate with each other, guess what? We're not going to be able to build effectively. If we're not going to coordinate with each other, we're not going to be able to build effectively. Then we've got to put on that some cooperation. We've got to work together. Those people all in Nehemiah's time, they worked together. They had a mind to work, and everybody put their minds to the work, and everybody got involved. Everybody had something to do. By the way, there is something in this ministry for you to do. Say, preacher, what is there for me to do? Everybody can do something.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
And so as we're dealing with this idea of having some big three principles, the communication, the coordination, the cooperation, they needed in Nehemiah's time, you and I need it. We said there's going to be six underlying principles that these all hinge upon: communication, coordination, and cooperation. The first of those is going to be spirituality. If you're going to work for God, you've got to be spiritual. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You cannot be carnal and work for God. It does no good. I've got to be spiritual in what I do, and I've got to conduct myself in my communications with spirituality. Amen. By the way, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, the Bible says. But the tongue of the wise is health. Hey, if I have spirituality, guess what? I'm going to speak in such a way where I don't pierce you. Now, the word of God pierces you. That's something different. That's supposed to pierce you. Amen. The word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, that's supposed to pierce you. But it shouldn't be my doing that I pierce you. And so if I'm spiritual in what I do, that's going to help my communication, my coordination, and my cooperation. If I'm loyal, I've got to be loyal to God first of all. Then I've got to be loyal to my pastor second of all. And third of all, my local church and its members. I've got to have some loyalty. Can you imagine if the people building the wall weren't loyal to their project? Can you imagine what would have happened?
Whoa.
The same thing that happens here. Yeah. What happens if we're not loyal to the man of God or the plan of God? Guess what? Bad things happen. Amen. Yeah. And we can't build as effectively as we needed to. And so we said that loyalty is needed. Then some honesty. You know, let your yeas be yea, your nays be nay. Amen. Just tell the truth. Amen. The Bible says speaking the truth in love. Amen. Honesty. Then we saw something else that needs to be hinged upon that. Some integrity. Be who you are at home and at church.
Amen.
You know, one of the main reasons why children turn away from the ministry later on? Hypocrisy in parents.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're one way in church, another way at home. They're one way with their friends, and they're another way in church. They're one way over here, another way here. Guess what? Let's just have some integrity. Let's be the same everywhere we go. And we looked at these principles. We looked at these biblical verses. The last one that we left off on was functionality. Functionality. And I gave you this definition. A functionality, spiritually working through and with people, problems, and relationships. Guess what? If we're working side by side with our communication, coordination, cooperation, if we're working spiritually, we're trying to be loyal, trying to be honest, trying to have our integrity, then functionality is something that's going to come into play sooner or later. Say, preacher, what is functionality? Working when somebody's got a problem.
Yes, sir.
Guess what? As a pastor, I still have to pastor this church whether you have a problem or not.
Yes, right, Pastor. Amen.
Amen. I still have to pastor this church whether you're bitter or not.
Right.
I still have to pastor this church whether you're angry or not.
Right.
I still have to pastor this church whether you like me or not. I still have to pastor this church whether you're sick or not.
Right.
Whatever happens, I still have to function to get the ministry accomplished that God would have me to do. And for Nehemiah's time, if they were going to functionally build this wall, don't you think they had sick people too?
Yep.
Don't you think they had people with attitudes too?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think they had people that were grumpy too? Don't you think they had people that didn't want to build the wall too? Don't you think they had people that said, you know what, I've got to lift another brick today. I'm tired of building this wall. When are we going to get done? Been 30 days already. I'm sure they had their people. I'm sure we have our people, too. Got to go to church again. Pastor's going to preach on my sin again. He's going to tell me I ain't right with God again. He's going to tell me I don't love God again. I got to go over here to this church again.
There you go.
We get in our ways.
Amen, Pastor.
We do. Don't look at me so pious. You know it's true.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
You know it's true. And so functionality. I've got to be able to deal past the feelings of others. I mentioned this, the feelings of others must be considered when building or ministering so close to each other on a regular basis, so hence functionality is necessary. I've got to get past the feelings of others' bad attitudes, their fatigue, their rebellion, their frustration, their sickness, their pity, their anger, their resentment. On and on I could go. I've got to keep my focus and get past the feelings of others if I'm going to build effectively, and guess what? So do you. You've got to keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got to get past the feelings of everybody else and concentrate yourself on what God has called you to do. Guess what? Everybody had a section of the wall to build. So everybody had to have their own personal focus, but also the focus of everybody else. They also had to get past their own feelings and the feelings of everybody else and still build the wall. And by the way, that can be tough at times. Ladies, you know how it is. You get one lady that's got that time of the month and she's all cramped up or whatever and mad at her husband and mad at the children and mad at you and mad at everybody else. Then she comes into church and you say hi. Why? What are you saying hi to me for? Why'd you say it that way? Why'd you look at me that way? Why don't you answer me? That's too much. Y'all know how it is. And I still have to focus on Jesus, and I still have to get past the feelings of other people. And I've got a portion of the wall to build. I've got a ministry to do.
Amen.
So we talked about that functionality. And I gave you several words here to hang our functionality on, because most problems in the local church can be handled by having two things in place. Number one is spirituality.
Yep.
The second one is humility.
Mm-hmm.
Humility.
That's good.
If I'm spiritual, mm-hmm, and if I'm humble, guess what? I can get a whole lot accomplished in the house of God. Guess what? In building a wall that they had to build, they had to be spiritual and they had to be humble, and somebody had to be in charge. Spirituality, we said, is a love for God and a love for others, because he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. Then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. So spirituality then is a love for God first and a love for others second. And if I'm going to functionally work with people, there's several things that I've got to consider. And I said all people problems should be handled, first of all, picturesquely. What does that mean? We looked at Galatians chapter number 6 and verse 1, where he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore such an one. So I've got to handle the problems picturesquely. From the position of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. If somebody's overtaken. But before I can do that, I've got to picturesquely go back to chapter number 5 and pick up the fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us, there's. I got to pick that up first and bring that into chapter 6. Because without that, I can't restore someone that's overtaken. So picturesquely, I've got to go back to chapter 5, pick up the fruit of the Spirit, come into chapter 6. If the brother is taken in a fault, functionally speaking, then ye, which are spiritual, restore such a one. So picturesquely, I need to handle the issue. And then I've got to handle it prayerfully. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Nehemiah 2, 4. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So to handle things functionally and building for Christ in the kingdom's sake, I've got to be, first of all, picturesque about it. Then I've got to also be prayerful about it. But then I've got to be personal. He says, restore such an one. Restore means to mend or to repair completely or thoroughly. Then I've got to handle the matter patiently. Is it in the spirit of what? Meekness. Considering who? Considering thyself. Why? You may be there. How would you want somebody to restore you? Now, I can just imagine if Brother Duffy had a broken arm. And I went over and said, brother, let me help you. Oh, I'm so sad. You got a broken arm. How does this feel?
Oh.
It hurts worse now. But wait a minute. We do that with our words sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Sister, how you doing? Oh, it's been so rough and bad. Why don't you just trust God? Well, I'm trying to trust God. Why don't you just get over it? Why don't you just get a grip? Well, but you don't know all the facts, and you're judging me already. Come on, considering thyself. Restore such a one to meekness. Hey, what I'm saying, picturesque has got to be handled. It's got to be handled patiently and prayerfully, but then practically, considering thyself. In other words, put yourself in their shoes. You may be wearing them one day.
Amen.
And how would you want someone to treat you? So if we're going to build for God, we've got to have communication effectively, coordination effectively, cooperation effectively. We've got to have this spirituality, this loyalty, this honesty, this integrity, this functionality. We've got to be able to depend on each other. But then there's something else with these principles here, not just picturesquely, prayerfully, and personally, and patiently, and practically. There's one that I didn't get to yet that I wanted to show you tonight. If there's an issue, not only am I going to handle it picturesquely, prayerfully, and personally, and patiently, and practically, but then privately. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 18 for me 1 second. Matthew 18. So if I'm going to handle this prayerfully and patiently and personally and picturesquely, I also want to handle it privately. Notice Matthew chapter 18. And by the way, for Christian affairs inside the local church, this is how matters ought to be handled. And there's two phases to this. Notice Matthew 18. Again, we know how we're going to handle it. It's going to be picturesquely. It's going to be prayerfully, personally, patiently, practically, but then privately. Chapter 18, pick it up with me in verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother to trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. What's that word saying? Alone. That doesn't mean to go over to the builder on your right if you've got a builder problem with the builder on your left. It doesn't mean go and tell everybody else about the problem that you've got in your building. It means to go to the person that you've got the problem with in your building and get it settled. Amen. The minute I go over here and tell builder B over here, when I should have told builder C over here, I have violated that principle.
Yes, sir.
Functionality. If I'm going to be picturesquely handling this and prayerfully handling this and patiently handling this and personally handling this, I've got to privately handle this. Don't get anybody else involved. Why? I might taint them. I may skew their vision on the building process. I may get them to think some things that really aren't true, aren't accurate about somebody that I shouldn't. And that's what happens when you involve somebody else that you shouldn't involve. And so this thing here then is handled privately, alone. And it's two phases. First, you go to the person one-on-one. It says, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's in the functionality part of this. But then he says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So my next thing then is, if at first I go one-on-one, then the second thing is to go and take somebody else with me. Now, who would we like to take? Somebody's on our side, wouldn't we?
Yes, sir.
What does that do to the situation? Makes it unfair.
Yes,
it skews it, because now that person is going to take my side, aren't they? It should be an unbiased person. Why do you think deacons normally are the ones that get put into that spot to go? Or an assistant pastor gets put into that. Why? They're going to be more partial. If you have someone, they're probably going to be somebody that's your buddy. I don't think you're going to go get somebody that's on the opposing side to represent you. But you should get a neutral party. So he says then, if the person's not going to hear thee, if this is going to functionally work itself out, if I'm going to be able to build, then functionality has got to say, I've got to have some good communication, coordination, cooperation, spirituality, loyalty, honesty, integrity, some functionality. I've got to be able to work past people and their problems and their relationships in a way that's going to glorify God. And God gives us the way in the Bible. And he says, you know what? If they're building a physical wall, and we're building for the kingdom of God, then this is a way that I've got to get this thing done, especially if I'm going to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and get past the feelings of others. Are your feelings going to get hurt? Yes, they are.
Yep.
Am I going to hurt your feelings? I probably will. And you know what I don't need you to do? Go tell somebody else that I hurt your feelings. You know what I need you to do? Come and tell me I hurt your feelings.
Amen.
They didn't hurt your feelings, so why are you going to tell them? Can I get amen?
Amen.
If Bob hurt your feelings, what are you going to do? Go tell Bob or go tell Bill? You go tell Bob. Bill didn't hurt your feelings. And so you go tell Bob and tell him alone. Tell Bill if he hurt your feelings. Tell Sue if she hurt your feelings. I'm sorry, Sue. There's just random names that I normally use that you happen to be here tonight. Amen. So I apologize. Amen. But you go to the person and you let them know. Amen. Did I use somebody else's name? trying to look across here. I didn't use Terrell. Get out of here. Amen. So anyway, picking this back up. So he says, go to him. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. It's established. And now, thirdly, you don't. This is all still privately handled and not publicly handled. Publicly means church-wide or openly before the church body and getting the body involved. That should be the very last result. By the way, if things are being done spiritually, loyalty, with some honesty, with some good communication, with some good coordination, with some good cooperation, with integrity and functionality, if it's being done with your brother in mind to love, guess what? We should never get to the last stage. When it comes to, we should never get there.
That's right.
But unfortunately, sometimes we had to get to that stage. He says, if he will not hear thee, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Again, this is in functionality. If it gets to the point where the person does not respond. Now, let me emphasize something that I wrote down. I'm going to read it verbatim. The last step in handling people problems in relationship is only effective when the erring member wants to remain active in attending and ministering in the local church. Read that again. This last step in handling people problems in relationship is only effective when the erring member wants to remain active in attending and ministering in the local church. When a member removes themselves from the local church body, it already removes them from the protection of the local church and delivers them to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Even if they join another church, unconfessed sin is still unconfessed sin. Moving does not resolve the issue. The sin goes with them. Amen. So if the member wants to stay and still minister in the church, but yet functionally they can't work through a problem or an issue, then it comes to going to someone else and saying, would you go with me to validate the issue? And if that doesn't work, the last cause is to bring it to the church when the church has to get involved. But everything should be able to be worked out before that. Why? Because we're spiritual. And by the way, spiritual people can work out spiritual problems.
Yes,
carnal people can't work it out.
Right, Pastor,
can I get amen?
Amen.
So if I'm spiritual already, guess what? This is a done deal. This can be handled. And I don't ever have to get to this step. Everybody follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Okay, what am I saying? We're trying to win souls for Jesus Christ. We're trying to build for Christ. We're trying to get souls saved. We're trying to go out and reach people and bring them in this church and get them under the sound of the gospel and get them baptized and then get them discipled and then send them back out and do the same thing. And that is building God's kingdom. And that's going to take communication, coordination, cooperation, for you to work with me and for me to work with my assistant, for my assistant to work with the deacons, for the deacons to work with the leadership, and for the leadership to work with the laity. And the way it's going to happen is communication, coordination, cooperation done spiritually, loyally, with honesty, with integrity, with functionality. Which brings me to the last point.
Amen.
All of that's got to be done with something as well. And we looked at the focus. The focus is keeping our eyes on Jesus. We looked at getting past the feelings of others. But then all that's going to have to be done with some unity. Brother Hall, where you at? Is he outside? Brother, if you can put this up there for me. Who's one of your, some of your students? Get some of your students up here to help you out. Double-sided. And we're going to put that one right across here, the unity right there. Unity. Go in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4. Unity is the last piece to this puzzle that we want to get put on. Ephesians chapter number 4, and notice what the Bible says here in verse number, let's start in verse number let's go to one. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the, what's that word? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of, what's that word? Peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and the hope of your calling. By the way, Jesus is not divided. There is one Spirit. And he is one. Now, by the way, if you have a different spirit than the Holy Spirit, You are not saved. And I didn't bat an eye when I said that. If you have a different spirit other than the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you forever. He's going to seal you and preserve you according to Ephesians. And so if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you have another spirit. Amen. But notice what he says down there. There's one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all, through all and in you all. So with all of that unity, guess what he wants you and I to be? Unified.
Unified.
Amen. All of this wall that was joined together with unity. One person couldn't have their mind set on just what they wanted to do. They had to keep in mind the whole. Teacher had to correct students. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Appreciate that, brother. And so each person, as they focused on their individual part of the wall, still had to look at the whole collective wall for unity. Why? Because if there's a breach in the wall, then guess what? The enemy can get through that breach.
Yep.
And the whole town now can get sabotaged because of one breach in the wall. So although the focus was on Christ, and I've got to get past the feelings of others, I've got to make sure that I'm unified with a perspective in mind that, you know what, we're working together. By the way, you and I are working together. There's no big eyes and little U's. You say, well, you're the pastor. Yeah, I'm the pastor.
Yeah,
that doesn't make me a big eye. That just makes me the under-shepherd of the local church.
Right,
amen. Notice down there in verse number 13. When they all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How long is it going to be until we all come into the unity of the faith? Till Jesus come. How long is it going to be until we come into the knowledge of the Son of God? Till Jesus come. Amen. How long is it going to be until we become a perfect man? Now, spiritually speaking, we're already perfect. The Bible says we're already seated in the heavenlies. Amen. So spiritually speaking, we know that's true. But down here, guess what? We still got to contend with a flesh. You got one, I got one. But guess what? We've got the Spirit of God, which can get us past that if we do things spiritually. Unity, he says down here. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Amen. To and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Somebody comes along and says, you know, I got a better way to build that wall. You do? Yeah, just use Elmer's glue on your wall. Well, I thought we need to use some mortar and some cement and some things like that. No, Elmer's glue works pretty good. Super glue works even better. Try that on your portion of the wall. It won't stand. It won't stand. Hey, we don't use that which is tried and proven. That's what's been tested. Amen. We'll be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Every teaching that comes along. What does he say here? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Psalm 133 says it this way. You guys know we're covering the Psalms, amen?
Yep, amen.
Psalm 133. The psalmist says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to bring disunity. He knows if he can get disunity between the brethren, you're not going to get a whole lot done.
That's right, Pastor.
He's not so much concerned about the world out there. They're already going to hell. He doesn't care about them. He wants to get you disunified. He wants to get you disorganized. He wants to get you disgruntled. He wants to get you in a state where you're not going to be able to do anything because you're the very ones that can give them the gospel.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
But he says, how good is for brethren to do it together in unity? But you know what it's going to take? Communication, coordination, cooperation, spirituality, loyalty, honesty, unity, integrity, functionality. It all works together if I'm going to build properly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Back over in Ephesians. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith, working hard to maintain stable relations by the word of God, is difficult but easy with the Spirit of God and the spirit of humility. Amen. If I've got the spirit of humility, guess what? I can do this. Through him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So even if it's functionality, if it's difficult to deal with some people, by the way, some people are just hard to deal with. Can I get an amen?
Some people,
let's just admit it. Some people are just hard. They're grumpy. They're sour. And we don't know why oftentimes. And so you know what we do? We judge them. Instead of communicating with them, asking why they're grumpy, and they might say, what's your business? At least you ask them. At least ask them. They tell you to get lost, and you say, well, at least I asked you. You're just a grumpy old person. I'm sorry. But guess what? God still loves those people.
Yes, sir, he does.
Jesus still died for those people.
Yes, sir.
And those people are still necessary to build this wall. And we still need them to get it done. And we still need them to cooperate and coordinate and communicate. We still need them in this process. Why? Their portion of the wall could be the very one that's going to be breached.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
So like it or lump it, whether you like to deal with them or not, you got to deal with them. Well, I don't want to deal with Sister Egg White because she's so, bossy. She's so blunt. And Brother Egg Beat over here, he's no better.
Amen, Pastor.
Well, la-di-da, I wonder what they say about you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good, Pastor.
Unity. Yep. By the way, Luke 11:17 says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And that's why we've got to have unity.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Kingdom, it can't stand. Go to 1 Chronicles 12:33 real quick with me. David had a band of men that accompanied him in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 33. I want you to notice what the Bible says about this group. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. These were some of David's mighty men that followed him along. And notice verse number 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200. And all their brethren were at their commandment of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could keep rank. They were not of what? Double heart. You know what a double heart means? A heart within a heart. So I've got two hearts. I got one for this group of people over here, and I got one for this group of people over here. That's not going to work. I can't have two hearts. Why? If I'm loyal to this one, I'm probably not going to be loyal to this one. If I'm loyal to this one, I'm probably not going to be loyal to this one. I need to just have a single heart, not a double heart. Being loyal to God and being loyal to God's program and being loyal to unity and being loyal to do what God has called me to do. I can't have a double heart, a heart within a heart. It's not going to be functional. You name me one person that has a heart within a heart that lived. No,
amen.
Nobody?
Amen.
Then spiritually, why do we have them all the time?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen, that Pastor. Amen.
Satan does the unthinkable in our lives.
Yes, he does.
So David said these men were not of a double heart. These were men of war that David had fighting for him. And so as we're looking at unity, let me just give you a couple quick thoughts. Unity is working with the pastor and his leadership, not against it or undermining it. The Bible still says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you. How many of your children, you want your children to have anarchy in the home and not listen to your authority? None of you? Don't you want your children to run amok and say they know how to run the house better than you? You don't want them to say, hey, look, mom, dad, you don't know what you're doing. I'm going to run things around here. Hey, kids, listen up to me. Mom and dad don't have a clue what's going on. I'll tell you how to run this house. Then why do we do it when it comes to the pastor? Pastor doesn't have a clue what he's doing. Pastor's wife doesn't have a clue what she's doing. I don't know what she's up to. Assistant pastor don't have a clue what he's doing. Deacons don't have a clue what they're doing. Those teachers, those leaders, they don't have a clue. If I was teaching that class, why don't you teach it? Why don't you teach it? Well, I don't want to be under the scrutiny. I don't want to meet the requirement that every calls for. Got to be in church. Got to tithe. Got to be faithful. Imagine that. Got to be saved. Got to be faithful. Imagine that. Just biblical, regular things that I should do. Hey, what am I saying? I can't be against the pastor or undermine the work if we're going to be unified in what we do. Give you another thought. How can I undermine the pastor by what I say or what I don't say? Can I get amen?
Amen.
By what I say or what I don't say. The pastor says, okay, are we all in? And if you don't say yes, guess what the answer probably is that people are thinking? The answer must be no.
Yep.
By what you say or what you don't say.
That's right, Pastor.
So I can say some things and cause damage, or I can withhold some things and cause the same amount of damage by what I say or what I don't say.
Amen.
Give you something else about unity. By what I do or don't do.
Right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
whether I go or don't go. By the way, let me give you this. If you've placed yourself voluntarily under the leadership of a local church and its authority of the pastor, this word should never come out of your mouth. No.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
You should never tell the pastor what you're not going to do.
That's right, Pastor.
I'm not going to do that. Now, wait a minute. Who forced you to join this church? Who forced you to be under my leadership? So you're going to tell me, no, I'm not going to do that? Now, I'm not saying I'm going to make you do everything. But I'm saying, in private, let's discuss that.
Amen.
Don't tell me in public that, no, I'm not. You know what that breeds? Disunity.
Yes, sir.
When you tell me in public what you're not going to do, that automatically sends a flag and a symbol to somebody else. Boy, they're not with Pastor. And I wonder why. And so afterwards, why didn't you want to talk to the pastor? Because I didn't like his idea. Now here we go.
Yep.
Now my integrity's in question. Now my loyalty's in question. Now my honesty's in question. Now my spirituality's in question. And now my functionality's in question. Now I've got some crumbling going on in my building process because now I don't want to do this thing. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But I willingly place myself under the pastor's authority.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Y'all got that look? I'm just saying.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I'm just saying. You know, when I was back at Calvary Baptist Church in Belgium, I never told my, let me take it back. One time I told my pastor no. And that's when he wanted me to go in the basement with the rat infested water.
Wanted
me to go down there with these boots that were that high when the water was this high. And I had phobias of a rat getting on my stuff and crawling up me. And I was going to meet Jesus a little earlier than I had planned on it. Amen. I had been saved all of about 8 months. Amen.
Yeah.
And the pastor said, Brother Dawson, go on down there. And I walked about as far as I can go. And water started coming to my boots. I said, Pastor, I don't want to go any further. He said, oh, brother, it's going to be okay. I was like, it's going to be okay. Can you go instead? I don't want to go any further. I see there's going to be a rat in here or something.
Amen.
And I'm going to die of a heart attack. That's the only thing I told my pastor no on.
Uh-oh.
And I still went.
Yeah.
I went as far as I could go. When that water started coming in those boots, I thought, this ain't going to work. I think leeches are in here. I think there's going to be rats in here and other kind of parasites because it was sewer water.
Yes.
And it was in the basement of our church.
Yeah.
And that he wanted me to go back and turn this or read the meter or something like that. And I was afraid.
Yes,
you say, ye of little faith. Hey, I was only saved a short amount of time.
Amen.
Now, if he asked me to go on or not, I'd say, sure, Pastor, just give me those things that the fishermen have on, them things that come way up here. And I'm your man, amen. I'll go now. But don't give me these little boots like this to go down there with the waters like this. And, you know, you said it's going to be okay. I think acid water down. I'm going to come back with no legs. Sending me down here to do this job. I've seen people go down with gas masks to that basement before. It's like, what are you doing? Well, guess what, folks? All joking aside, if we had placed ourselves, those words should never come out of our mouths and telling the pastor or the pastor's wife what you're not going to do.
Uh-huh.
Ladies should never tell the pastor's wife what they're not going
that's
to
right,
do.
Pastor, that's right.
You say, can we discuss that in private? There's diplomatic ways and spiritual ways to handle things to make sure that the unity is still intact. Now, you may not agree what it is, and you may not want to do it, and that's why privacy is necessary. And so many times we just want to give a quick answer and say our minds. You know, you give away too much of your mind, you ain't got nothing left.
Amen.
Amen. And what we need to do is say, Lord, how do I answer this? Lord, how should I deal with this? What are we doing? Functionality. Where's my integrity at? Hey, I'm trying to keep the unity of the faith. I'm trying to make sure that we're together. We're binding this thing together, that we're all together. We're unified. Why? Souls still need to be saved.
Yes, sir, they do.
By the way, this church is not going to be as strong as it needs to be if the Christians in it aren't strong. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. These things all send small messages of big discord, especially when it is common or written knowledge as to what I should be doing and I don't do it. Ooh. Leadership is not easy.
No, it isn't, Pastor.
And most people know what leaders should do. Until the person gets in the place of leadership, then you seem to forget what leaders are supposed to do.
Yeah.
I knew what pastors were supposed to do before I got to became pastor.
I
could write a thesis on it. I can't even be a pastor. I was like, no, what am I supposed to do? I seem to have drawn a blank here. And by the way, don't get me wrong, preaching is the easy part.
Yeah.
Pastoring is the hard part.
Yes, sir, it is.
Pastoring is shepherding people's lives. That's the hard part. Amen. Preaching, anybody can preach. Anybody can get up there and hold the Bible and preach a sermon and get my outline. Anybody can do that. Pastoring is the hard part.
Yes, sir.
Handling people's lives. And being there in their times of sorrow and trying to bring them up out of the muck and mire and trying to bring them out of guilt and trying to bring them out of brokenness and trying to build their lives up and trying to encourage them. That's the hard part.
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor.
Preaching is the easy part.
Yes.
What am I saying here? Unity. Ask yourself this question. Do I breed unity or discord? Do I support or do I not support? Am I obedient or disobedient to the leadership? Am I building with the pastor or am I battling against the pastor? Voice your dislikes always privately, never publicly. Why? It breeds disunity.
Yes, sir.
Did I always agree with my pastor? No. My wife didn't even know when I didn't agree with my pastor. My wife didn't even know. I went to my pastor and I talked to him and I said, how about this? Okay. And then when she brought up something that I had already questioned, I was able to give her an answer to calm her down.
Yep.
Tell you something, men, if you don't calm your wives down, the devil will stir them up.
Well,
can I get an amen?
Amen.
It don't take much. You know it. It don't take much to stir them up.
You gonna let them talk to you like that? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put up with that.
And here we go. Well, my wife said I shouldn't put up with that. You coward.
You
coward.
There you go.
My wife said you shouldn't have talked to me like that. My wife said you shouldn't have said that. Where'd that come from?
Amen.
How about what God said?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not minimizing you ladies. I am not. I am not. Honestly, I am not. Work with me. I'm just saying that as men, we've got to have the word of God to keep the unity straight. And sometimes it's going to cause going to the man of God privately to get something settled before your wife gets stirred up and then stirs you up. Hey, remember Jezebel?
Yeah.
What did she do to Ahab? She stirred that man up to all kind of wickedness.
Yes, sir.
It was wicked enough by himself.
He
didn't need any help, but she stirred him up a whole lot worse.
Yes, sir.
Nabal's vineyard, you want that? Give me that stuff. Get it. That stuff over here. Get up out the bed. Quit crying. What you sulking about? Naboth won't give me his vineyard. Ain't you the king? Give me that stuff. Here, take that stuff. We don't want that.
Amen.
We don't want that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we talked about focus of others. We've got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, get past the feelings of others. If we can do all that and get this unity and get this communication in place, then something great will happen. We're keeping our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ while we're building. We're getting past the feelings of others, and then we can fight for each other as well. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. I want to show you something real quick in closing. Nehemiah chapter number 4. We can get past the focus and make sure we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can get past the feelings of others and spiritually handle things with them in a functional way. Then, according to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14, we need to fight for each other. Notice what it says there. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Amen. Hey, that's how we need to encourage each other. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for who? Your brethren. You notice what he didn't say? Fight against yourself. He didn't say, get some disunity going on. He said, fight for your brother. Stand up for him. Stick up for him. One of the worst things you can do is badmouth your brother or your sister to somebody that's not even saved. God's not in that. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. He said, you know what? You need to fight. You need to fight. We want to be successful in this building process and ministering for God and winning souls to Christ Jesus. We've got to fight for each other. We've got to have each other's backs. We've got to fight against the deceptions that the devil brings in. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, unless Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need communication. We need cooperation. We need coordination. And if we can do that and continue focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, getting past the feelings of others, doing our work with spirituality, with loyalty, with honesty, with integrity, functionality, and unity, God will fight for us. Notice verse 20. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Notice what he says. Our God shall fight for us. If we can just get down to the place where you and I fight for each other, fighting for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, got some unity going on, have some communication, coordination, cooperation going on, do things spiritually, do things honestly, do things with some integrity, do things functionally, do things in a way that's going to please God, then God can fight for us. But if we're busy fighting against ourselves, guess what? It's a losing battle. Because the heathens are already fighting against us. The devil's already fighting against us. We don't need any more people fighting against us. God will fight for us. Let me give you this. If we are not fighting for each other, we will be fighting each other. We're not fighting for each other. We're going to be fighting each other. Galatians says it this way. 5:14, for all this, for all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. The very next verse says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to close with this scripture in Deuteronomy. I want you to read this as well, going along with fighting for us. Deuteronomy chapter 20. What are we talking about? Unity. Deuteronomy chapter number 20. This is instruction giving in regards to warfare. And God's giving all the commands on what they ought to do. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to what? Fight for you against your enemies to save you. Is that not what God did for Nehemiah? And allowing them to get this wall built. You know why? Because spiritually they had some spiritual communication, some spiritual coordination, some spiritual cooperation. They had to work so closely together. Because they had some spirituality in what they did. Did they have their issues? I'm sure they did, just like you and I have our issues. But I believe they employed some spirituality. They had some loyalty to God's plan and God's man and what God would have him to do. They had some honesty to make sure they could focus on their task but still keep the view of the whole intact. They had some integrity about themselves and some functionality. When they would go home, they knew they were coming back and they knew they were going to come back to work on this. If they had an issue, I'm sure they had ways in dealing with it. And it was all for some unity, for the glory of God and for the good of man and for the safety of Israel. And so built we the wall against mockery, against treachery, against intrigue, against so many different obstacles. And you and I are going to face the same obstacles as we go out and try to win people to Christ. As we come into this house, this local church, and try to do things for God, things are going to happen in your life and in my life that we really don't like. And that's when our spirituality is going to have to kick in. That's when our loyalty is going to kick in. Who am I really doing this for? By the way, if you're doing a ministry for man, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You've already lost your reward. You already have it. But if you're doing it because you're loyal to God above and his leadership, guess what? You're in a winning team. Amen. If I've got some honesty about myself, I've got some integrity. I'm the same at home as I am at church. Some functionality. I know how to handle people problems and work through issues when people get offended because I know I'm going to offend people. And if I've got a mind of unity trying to bring things together, not to bring things apart and have discord, guess what? You and I can do the same thing that they did. Do something for God in record time. They built that wall in record time against all their obstacles. Now, I trust you're with me on this. We've been talking about this since last year.
Yep.
I need a group of people that can do this for God. And they're going to go on for God. And I believe all of you are. I believe everybody that's here wants to do that.
Amen.
But it's not going to come without a price. We're going to have enemies. We're going to have obstacles. And that's why it's so important for your communication, your coordination, and your cooperation. We all still operate with the flesh. And we're going to build anything for God. It's going to require the big three and these big six to get it done. And I trust you're with me on this. I believe you are. Just for a moment, let's just have a quiet time of reflection. No piano, no nothing. I just want you to bow your head. And I want you to think about what we've been talking about tonight. This is something that we started last September. Spiritual communication, spiritual coordination, spiritual cooperation. Doing things spirit with spirituality, doing things with loyalty, with honesty, with integrity, with functionality, with unity. In your own heart, would you pray silently to God, letting him know that you're on board? You want to be like the people in Nehemiah's time. You want to be a part of something great that's going to happen. And you want to see this work happen quickly. And you want to see souls get saved and people get discipled and people grow in Christ and more people get saved and more people get baptized and more people get discipled and more people get sent to missions. You know, if we do it right and if we honor God, God is going to bless and God will fight for us. Quiet of your own heart. Why don't you tell God, God, I'm in. I'm in and I want to do what you would have me to do. I want to do what's pleasing in your sight. I want to be a part of this winning team. And this last block that we added on unity, God, I want to be one that's going to have unified faith. I want to bring people and the things of God together, not pull them apart. I want to be a team player, Lord. I want to have the focus on you, but at the same time, be aware of others. Lord, I want to get past the feelings of others, but yet and still be mindful of their feelings. Lord, I want to fight for my brethren. But at the same time, I want my brethren to fight for us so that you can fight for us all. Father, thank you for what we've covered in these many lessons on your pastor and your welfare and your pastor and your work. Lord, I've tried my best to plead my heart and what you've laid upon my heart for this ministry. Lord, I pray that you would give us team players that would see their part of the wall that they need to build, their focus that they need to have, the feelings that they need to be mindful of, and the fight that they have on their hands for their brethren. Lord, I pray that each one of us would gird up our loins and, Lord, stand in the gap for each other, knowing that you ultimately will fight for us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for its many members. Thank you for those that have already, Lord, just vowed their loyalty to you and to this man of God and to this local church and to its members. Lord, I pray that you would continue to fight for us. We know the battle is not ours. The battle is yours. You said, not by power or might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So God, help us to fight for each other, but allow you to fight for us all. Knowing that the victory is won in Christ Jesus. The battle is already over. But on this planet, on this earth, we will have to struggle from time to time. Thank you for the many participants that are willing and able and doing what you've called them to do. Now, Lord, may we enlist others and more to do the same thing. We thank you, love you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.